It's such a big subject that we're going to use these words that Jesus spoke as he observed this widow just to think about money. And as we look at these words of Jesus, we're going to see what and think about what he says about giving to God's work, to God, that so easily and quickly reveals how our hearts are when we come to money. It's astonishing how much Jesus talks about money. It's been calculated that as much as 15% of the gospel accounts have Jesus speaking about the topic of money, more than on his teaching about heaven and hell combined. Listen to these three examples from Luke's gospel of the kinds of things that Jesus says about money and lifestyle issues that surround it. Luke chapter 12. He said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions." Later on in Luke chapter 12, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A few chapters later in Luke 14, "In the same way, any one of you who does not give up everything cannot be my disciple." One commentator has written these words, "Jesus Christ said more about money than any other single life issue, because when it comes to our nature, money is of first importance. Money is an exact index to a person's true character. All through the Bible, there is an intimate correlation between the development of a person's character and how they handle money." That is so helpful and so true. Just a cursory reading of the Bible reminds us that there is a powerful relationship between our true spiritual condition and our attitude and actions concerning money and possessions. So we're on page 1018. Hopefully you've got that in front of you. And we're looking at this account of Jesus and the poor widow, and we're going to see two things and then talk about these together. Talk and pray together. Firstly, Jesus sees how we use our money. And secondly, Jesus speaks about how we use our money. So, firstly, Jesus sees how we use our money. Look at how Mark describes the scene before us, verse 41. Look down again in your Bibles at verse 41. "Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few pence." So Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jewish nation, people who've been called by God to know him and love him and serve him. They've been given God's word. The temple signifies God's presence. At the heart of the temple stood the sacrificial system, which showed what was needed for sin to be paid for. It required death, the shedding of blood, and it was also the place where people gave to God's work. So here come those who call themselves God's people, and they are giving their offerings. Box that existed, and people would have passed by and thrown their money into the box. And Jesus sees many rich people throwing in large amounts. Undoubtedly, some of them threw in at least a denarius. A denarius was the standard pay for a day's labor. So in today's value, the minimum wage, a normal working day, it's about £70. Someone would have thrown in a denarius and £70 would have gone into the offering. Maybe a few rich people threw in a stater. A stater in Jesus' time was worth 4 denarii. So 4 denarii, that would have been in today's money about £300. So that stater would have gone into the offering £300. If a very rich person had delved into their bag, pulled out, say, a handful, 12 staters, thousands of pounds would have been placed into the offering. And as we watch with Jesus, we are impressed. These rich people have lots of money, and they are giving lots of money to the work of God, to the temple ministry. These are the people that we notice. These are the people that we commend. We want to know. We want to spend time with. And we see them. And Jesus sees them. And then Jesus sees again. Look at verse 42 again. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. That phrase, fraction of a penny, in the Greek, the actual monetary value is told us there. The language says two lepta, right? Two lepta. The single of lepta is lepton. A lepton, right? One small copper coin was worth 1/128 of a denarii. So in our today's money, that was 54p. So one of those coins is worth 54p. You're all great mathematicians. That widow put in just over £1. Now, before we listen to Jesus' response to that, let's just say this in passing. Jesus sees everything about our lives. He knows everything about us. Everything we think, all that we do, including all that we do with our money. Just think about that for a moment. Every part of your financial dealings, Jesus knows all about it. How comfortable do you feel about that? I mean, we all like the fact that, for example, the Kensington accounts, we're part of Kensington Baptist Church, that they're audited, and we can look at the figures, and the figures go up on the screen, and it's plain to members, that's good. But we like to think that our personal finances remain just that, personal. All of us like to be a bit intrigued by trying to work out other people's incomes and their lifestyles and how a friend manages to afford that and that new car or that holiday. But we like a tight privacy over all that we do, except it doesn't exist. Because Jesus, the Lord of the universe, sees exactly how we use our money and the motivations for how we use our money. Because Jesus sees our hearts. He sees what we treasure. He sees what we hold most dear. He sees where our dependency and trust for life is. And he sees the proof of that, what we treasure, what we delight in, what we're dependent on. He sees the proof of that in a large extent in how we use our money. So for those of us here, and it's the majority of people here this evening, for those of us who follow Jesus, let's acknowledge that right from the start. Let's acknowledge that Jesus sees and is Lord over our finances. It belongs to us. Every pound, every penny belongs to Jesus Christ. Let's prayerfully look to him, to his word, by his spirit, to be shaped and taught so that every 54 pence and every pound and every 200 pounds and 2,000 pounds and 24,000 pounds is used for Christ and his glory. Jesus is Lord of our money. And the path of discipleship and maturity in discipleship is found in a large extent in acknowledging that our money, our possessions, they are God's, to be used for him maximally for the glory and extension of his kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus now goes on to address. He sees how we use our money, and now Jesus speaks about how we use our money. Look at verse 43. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put into the treasury more into the treasury than all the others." The commentators write, they can't decide whether he means there that she's put in more than every single individual, right? Or is Jesus even saying that take all of those rich people, that widow has put in more than them combined. Verse 44, they all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, what is Jesus saying here? A Has Jesus forgotten some basic maths? 1 pound versus thousands of pounds. Some of these rich people put in massive amounts of money, and Jesus is saying this poor widow has put in more. It's the word she uses. On what basis has she done that? And Jesus explains. Verse 44, look at verse 44 again. Jesus describes how the rich have given out of their wealth. It looks so generous. Such large amounts of money. But the thing is, there is still so much left in the bank accounts to spend on themselves. Proportionately, and that's the key word here, proportionately, what the rich have put in is actually a small amount. When what is compared, when what has been put in is compared to what remains in their bank account to spend on themselves. When that happens, Jesus sees it. Jesus says, look at this in a completely different light. These rich individuals are making sure that all their perceived needs are paid for. Their homes, their wants, clothes, every new gadget, every part of the house, every pension. Are the kids okay? Is the car getting too old? Are the holidays paid for? And then giving to God. That's not sacrificial giving. That's skimming off the top. And Jesus compares that attitude to the attitude of the poor widow. Of course, being a widow in Jesus' time was a desperate situation to find yourself in, right? When you were a widow and you didn't have a husband, you were part of a family, you on your own, no income, no state benefits. If you were a poor widow, then the desperateness of your situation was considerable. This poor widow has nothing and puts into the treasury everything. All she had to live on. There's no talk of proportion. What she got left behind? There isn't any. She's given it all away. She empties her bank account. And as a result, Jesus says in verse 43, look again at verse 43, he says, I tell you the truth. That's Jesus' little phrase to say, listen up everyone, listen really carefully now. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Okay. Summary sentence. Summary statement. God values the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. It's what Jesus is teaching here. It's a sharp edge of the gospel, the sharp edge of Christian discipleship, especially for greedy people like us, materialistic people like us. God values the gift not by the size, but by the sacrifice. Now, brothers and sisters, we pray for ourselves now that we'll have soft hearts in receiving God's word, which is painful. J.C. Ryle, the famous bishop in the Church of England, this is what he says about these words, right? He says, there are few of our Lord's sayings so much overlooked as this. There are thousands who remember his doctrinal discourses and yet contrive to forget this incident in his earthly ministry. Jesus is talking about sacrificial giving, radical use of money. Frankly, he's commending the type of sacrificial giving that in the 21st century we like to explain away and qualify. And in a question panel, lots of questions push back, even saying this woman's being unrealistic. She's being irresponsible. But Jesus commends this woman, draws our attention to the 1 pound this poor widow has put in, which in God's sight is more than the thousands of pounds that others have put in. And that's because God values the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. You see, when it comes to money, Jesus teaches over and over again that it's an enormous indicator about the state of our hearts. It's a massive indicator of devotion, of our willingness to give all and follow Christ. You see, though the rich gave much, their heart was resting content in what they had left over. I've got this left over. But if the sacrifice for Jesus means you have little left, you've given everything, where is your heart going to rest and depend but on Jesus? You're just going to be leaning on him. Christ, you have my all. Hope is heaven. Glory to your name. No, the poor widow gives more. Her love, devotion, faith. This woman shows us how to give. The £1 is worth more than the 200, 2,000 pounds. So, pause. Are we being told to literally give all our money away, go home and empty our bank accounts? No. The Bible clearly teaches we have responsibility to others and to provide for ourselves. Is Jesus teaching us here to steward all that God has given well and to give sacrificially? Yes. So, as I finish, let's get practical. Let me ask you, how regularly do you sit down with a prayerful, Christ-exalting spirit and carefully assess and budget your finances with the express aim of maximizing what you can give away sacrificially to the glory of God? Doing that means looking at the expenditures you incur, mortgage, rent, council tax, heating bills, loans. Then there's the more discretionary expenses, gym, gadgets, accessories, stuff for the house, hobbies, holiday choices, eating out, eating nice, eating in, all the choices we make week by week. How regularly do you sit down and assess all that before God, trusting in Christ, and pray and examine how much you can give away to gospel work and those in need and to your neighbor and to radical ordinary hospitality, how much you can give away to the family of God's people here and to the missions work that we're involved in. Think of the Shortmans down the road and the Keens up the road and the Aparecidas in Brazil and then there are the other individuals and agencies and compassion ministries that we know about and gospel works. You'll know about some more than me, people you know, groups you've worked with. How often do you prayerfully weigh all of that up and say, Lord, make me a generous sacrificial giver that uses my money well to the glory of your name? How often, if you're a married couple, do you go through that process as a couple? I would recommend at least yearly that kind of careful, prayerful examination. And if you're single, think about the wisdom of asking a trusted friend. You might not go through every budget line of your finances. You might. It's a really trusted friend. But someone who can hold you accountable and ask you questions and pray and encourage you as you use your money for the glory of Christ. And then as we've taken ourselves through that process, how often do we reassess over and over our giving until we feel the sacrifice? Is that not what Jesus commends the poor widow for doing? Let me say a word to our young people. It's great that they're in with us tonight, sitting mostly down here on my right. Guys, it's great that you're here with us, right? And I appreciate as young people, you're not going to have much. But the point of the passage is this. It's not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice that Jesus weighs. As we love Jesus and follow him and trust him. So the money that you have, that you've given, even though it might be small, it's still a discernible amount. You can decide what to do with it. How am I going to use it? How am I going to spend it on this song or this pair of jeans or this drink? Maybe one less drink or one less pair of jeans, and once a month you give to God and his work £1. That's your regular gift. That's your gift to God and the work of the gospel. And I don't know what you're thinking right now, okay? What a week this has been for me as I've thought about this. A penny for your thoughts, my grandmother used to say. How are we going to respond to this question of money? How we use our money, how we use it as we steward it, how do we give it, how we give it away, how do we make these decisions, okay? How are we going to respond to this question of money? What will motivate us to live like this widow? Well, let me tell you what won't achieve this, right? We hear these radical, my goodness, all my money belongs to God. What am I doing with it, Lord? How can I give it maximally to the growth of your kingdom? How do I achieve this? Well, firstly, don't look at me, right? I'm a beginner at this. To have any integrity at preaching this sermon, I have to look over my finances, pray for change, look at what I'm giving. Don't look at me. I'm an utter sinner trying to put God's word into practice. Don't look at me, but pray for me. And you also won't start giving and giving sacrificially by trying harder, by a few firm resolutions. Nope, That won't happen. You might be sitting here now, right, really convicted. My goodness, when did I last think like this? When did I last talk to a friend or my wife about this? But resolving, that won't work either. Money, greed can have such a tight grip around our hearts that when we finished our time, the question panel, the song, we go home, nothing changes. You won't find strength inside yourself to change. The deceitfulness of wealth chokes us to death. And deciding that this is something, oh, I hear what you're saying, I'll address it later on when my finances are a bit easier, when they're a bit less complicated, when I have more cash. That is a deadly response because you won't do it. As now, so then. If you want to think about how you're going to be dealing with money in 10 years' time, look at how you're dealing with money right now. And remember, the point is not waiting to give until you feel you have something worthwhile to give. It's not the size, it's the sacrifice. £3 a week might mean a massive sacrifice to you right now. £100 a week might be a drop in the ocean that is your bank account. Putting it off means we'll never address it. And don't give, as you think about money this evening, don't think, oh, I must give to God and try and use my money more wisely to earn favor with God. That's not the gospel. We don't give money to work our way to God or to get good things back from God. That kind of prosperity teaching is a lie. The only motivation, the only way we will give and steward our money well and wisely is by looking to the person who is speaking these words in Mark's gospel. It's only by looking to Jesus that we will ever find our hearts change and our motivation to use our money for him and to give sacrificially. Jesus, why is that the case? Well, firstly, Jesus is Lord. When we look to Jesus, we realize, as we've been thinking in Colossians, hey, Jesus rules over the world. Everything that I have belongs to Jesus anyway. And I must steward it wisely and carefully. When we realize that Jesus is Lord and he's Lord over my bank account, that's going to make us careful about our spending choices, about our holiday choices, about our savings, our pension plans, giving. Secondly, it's only Jesus that can change our self-centered hearts. It's only through trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, where he paid for the rottenness of our greed and our covetousness and our materialism. It's only there that we can find forgiveness with Christ. He paid for that. He paid for Simon Price's envy and covetousness and greed. And because of that, he's paid for it and he's given me a new heart. I'm forgiven. Jesus is my savior. Jesus changes hearts. And thirdly, we're motivated because that sacrificial death of Jesus, and James mentioned it a couple of times, serves as the supreme example, motivation for our giving. Christ gave literally his all for us. That's how Paul motivates a church in 2 Corinthians to give. He says these words to them. He says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, who existed in the glorious splendor of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He left the throne room of heaven, made himself nothing, took the nature of a servant, made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's the cross of Jesus, gazing on Christ, knowing him, loving him, walking with him, that changes our hearts and motivates us and causes us to use our money rightly, to see it rightly, and to give it sacrificially to the glory of God.